20th chapter of the book of Matthew. If you please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word, we're going to start reading at verse number 29 down through the end of the chapter, chapter 20, verse 29. As they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Let us pray. Father, again, we want to thank you this morning for the great privilege it is to read the Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for this account that you've given us in the Scripture, Father, of these two blind men, Lord, receiving sight from the Savior, from the Master. And God, I thank you this morning as we take this word and preach it. We're asking you for your power and wisdom, Lord, that it will go forth with your power. And Father, that you will use it to your glory. It is your word, and your word does not come back void. So I thank you this morning for all that you're going to do. Thank you for allowing me to preach this morning. You know my need today, and I ask you to help me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was thinking about life this week, and I was reading over in Psalms, the 17th chapter, and David said when he awoke, he would be satisfied with the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to be satisfied by being like him. And I got to thinking about life, and there's not a whole lot of things down here that are lastingly satisfying. Things that certainly give pleasure to us from time to time. This old world is not designed to help us eternally. Only Jesus can do that. But it can give some pleasure once in a while, but not real satisfaction. And I was thinking of these two men that were sitting along the side. The Bible says by the wayside they were sitting, and Jesus was coming by, and I thought they might have had some pleasures in their life. I don't know much about their background, don't know much about what they did, but they may have had some pleasures in their life, but not true satisfaction. I know also the world can give some entertainment. The world can entertain you for a little while, maybe make you laugh, make you even have some type of a joy once in a while, but it cannot give contentment, that which we need. It cannot give you that which will cause you to be content in the things of the Lord. It can even give you gold. I wondered about maybe these men sitting by the wayside, these two blind men, probably, more than likely, may have been sitting there asking for alms. They had no employment. They had no way of making a living. They could not see. More than likely, they was sitting there asking for alms. And I thought, the world can give you gold, but it cannot give you God. And I thought, well, why is that? Why can't the world satisfy? Because the nature of the soul is spiritual. This world cannot fulfill the need that's in your heart today, because God has put a place in every individual's life, every person's life. There's a place, a capacity for Him. And when He's not there, there is no way possible that a man can completely be satisfied. So these men certainly were sitting there unsatisfied. Let me say to you, if you're in bondage, the bondage of sin, God can satisfy you by delivering you from that. That's what He wants to do. There's you. If you're living a guilt-filled life, Satan's good at trying to get us to feel guilty constantly, but if we're without Christ, We certainly ought to feel the guilt. If we're in sin, we ought to feel the guilt. But God can pardon us and lift that guilt. Thank God for that. Not only that, there's that conscience that all of us live with. Satan's good at thinking back on the days before salvation and what we did and what we've done wrong in our life, and the old conscience is corrupt. But God Himself can come along and give us peace, that all of those things are forgiven. They're under the blood, and that He has paid for all of them. So I was thinking about the fact that being satisfied, and as I said, these men here certainly were not satisfied. They were not what they should be for the Lord. And so because of that, they were searching for something. They were seeking out for something. So we're going to just bring a message this morning that looks at these two blind men. We're going to see what it was they found and what brought them to find it. First of all, I want you to look and notice in verse number 30, it says, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." We find them here sitting. They were sitting, the Bible says, by the wayside. There's another portion of Scripture, and I believe it's in the book of Mark, that names one of these men, and Bartimaeus, the blind man. And in that portion of Scripture, it just speaks about one, but I think it's talking about the same situation, and in that situation it named one, but the Bible tells us there was two. And so there was two men here who were blind, they were together, and they were searching for some things. First of all, let me say to you, before any sinner can get help from the Lord, he must first of all understand and become concerned about his condition. Here was two men who was blind. They needed help. They recognized the fact that they was blind. Now, folks, you say, well, that's easy. The man blind that could not see. But God says the man who is spiritually lost is also spiritually blind. Multitudes of folk today do not even understand the condition in which they are in. Before you'll ever get saved, before you'll ever turn to Christ, before you'll ever seek for help, you're going to have to understand your condition. You must understand that without Jesus Christ, there is no life eternally. Without Him, it's an impossibility to go to heaven. So without Him, we are lost. We are in the condition of a lost individual who absolutely only has hell to look forward to. These two men certainly picture the sinner in the Bible. And we find them here simply getting personally concerned about their condition. Now, this was not some condition or something that had just happened to them, some terrible sin that they had just performed. I'm not saying that they did not perform certain types of bad sins. I don't know anything about them, don't know what they did. But this was not concerned over just some problem that they had in life. This concern was something that had plagued them throughout their whole life. They were blind. They could not see. Now, you and I get concerned sometimes about the little problems of life, about the circumstances of life. But if we're without Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the one thing we need to get concerned about is the fact that it has plagued us for our whole life that we are sinners, we are lost, and we need the Savior. That's the thing that the blind men come to realize. It was not just some problem. It was a serious situation. They understood they could not see. Now let me ask you a question this morning. Can you spiritually see? Can you honestly spiritually see? Have your eyes been open to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? That's a question I want you to ask yourself this morning. Do you know Him? Has your eyes been open? We know also that this was a very positive faith that they had. I look at this thing and I thought to myself as I read through this, these people have had no doubt whatsoever who Jesus Christ was. They called Him and they said, "O Lord," and I might say to you, it might be possible that if a person maybe would just be referring to someone and maybe in a higher standing than they were, and they might say, "O Lord," or refer to Him in respect, "O Lord." But when they said, "Thou Son of David," they were saying something. They was looking back to the Old Testament scriptures. Thou son of David, this is the Messiah, the son of David, who's going to sit on the throne of David one of these days. They was recognizing that this is the one that God was going to send who would open the eyes of the blind. And they was asking him to do that. And so we find here that their faith was in Christ, Jesus Christ. They come to the one whom they knew could help them. And so they ask him to do something for them. And that's as he passed by, he said, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Now, to me, their crying out to Jesus Christ was a proof that they believed who he was. They knew he's the one who could help. Now, folks, let me just say this to you very simply, very encouragingly. There's only one can help you, and it is Jesus. It isn't religion. The church can point you, but joining the church won't help you. Not what you really need. It'll help you after you get saved to serve, but it just being a church membership member is not what's going to help you. They understood they needed the Messiah. You say, good works will help me. Good works are good, but they're not going to help you get to heaven. You don't get to heaven by good works. Now, what I'm simply saying to you is this. You need to cry out to the only one can save you, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is it. There isn't anybody else. If you've never cried out in salvation for to him to save your soul, then you're not saved. Doesn't mean you're a bad, terrible person, but you're not saved. You're not headed for heaven. You won't go to heaven when you die if you're not saved, if you have not put your faith and trust in Christ. And this faith here that they was crying out in was a faith that was real. And Jesus responded to that because, you see, they understood who he was. They didn't know all he was going to do. They didn't know all the theology in the Bible. But they believed one thing. He was, O Lord, thou son of David. And they believed that. He's the Messiah, the one who is coming to pay the cost of their sin. They believed he could do anything that needed to be done. Now let me say also in verse number 31, it says, "And the multitudes rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Now let me say to you, there's always going to be the multitudes around. There always will be. If you'll notice in the first part of this this portion of Scripture, he departed from Jericho, and the Bible said a great multitude followed him. There's going to be the multitude that's not too interested in your salvation. More interested in listening to Jesus teach. And I'm sure as Jesus was walking along that road, I can't imagine him just walking along wherever he was going and not teaching the people. And more than likely he was teaching the multitude, and these two men interrupted. And they began to cry out and interrupted. And of course, the multitude said to him, they rebuked them. They said, you know, in other words, just be quiet. Hold your peace. This is someone very special, and he's teaching us. And you just hold your peace. You just sit over there where you're supposed to be. And don't pay any don't be loud so that you're going to interrupt everything. Now, let me say to you, there's always going to be the multitude. There's always going to be the multitude more interested in something that Jesus will do or teach them than getting a soul saved. But there's nothing in this world more important than the salvation of a soul. And that's what that picture is right here, is these two blind men being able to see is a picture of the blindness of man today, in that they cannot see spiritually and they need their eyes open. And it may even be, could be possibly, might even be some of your best friends that's going to discourage you in the things of the Lord. They're going to discourage you. They're going to tell you all the negatives about being a Christian. I don't really know what they are, but they're going to come up with some. They're going to follow. They're going to give you some ideas about how negative it is to be a Christian. And they're going to try to point you away or stop you from going forward and deciding for Jesus Christ. Now, I say to you folks, you can't pay attention to those kind of folk. You need to realize that you need Christ. If you're unsaved, you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need to make a decision for Him. If you're unsaved today, you need to, at the invitation, you need to walk down this aisle, and you need to let men be standing here. If you're a lady, they'll get a lady to deal with you, and they'll help you, and they'll show you in the Bible, from the Bible, how you can be saved, and you can walk from this place knowing you're a child of God. And it make any difference what the multitude's doing. Don't make a difference what people around you are doing. If they're not interested in the Bible, the Word of God, that makes no difference. You need to listen. You need to hear. And you need to respond to it, you see. So I'm simply saying to you, there's always going to be the multitudes that's going to discourage you from coming to Jesus, and also do everything they can to stop you from making that decision, because that's Satan's business. That's his business. That's what he wants to do. So I also say, and I'm sorry to have to say this, but sometimes even church members are a discouragement instead of an encouragement to the things of the Lord. Sometimes church members in church situations and in congregation as we preach are not very spiritual. They're thinking about other things. They've got other things on their mind. They're not concerned about if you're sitting beside them and you may have a spiritual need. Now, I say to you folks that there's spiritual needs in this house this morning. I don't know what all they are, but they're there. We wouldn't be here if they wasn't there. We're needy folk. We always need Jesus, and we need to be aware of those around us that might have some spiritual need. It might be someone near you that needs to be saved. You can be encouragement to them. It might be someone near you that has a spiritual need in his Christian life instead of hurting them and causing them not to hear the Word of God and to respond to the Word of God. Why don't you just be a blessing and encourage them to listen to the preaching? And maybe you can be a help and an encouragement to them. Amen. But there's always the multitudes. They always will be. You come into a place this morning where the Word of God's going to be preached. We're going to tell you how to be saved and those kind of things. That's a blessing. But you come from a world that doesn't care whether you ever get saved or not. They just don't care. They're not concerned with that. I try to get our people, I believe it's right and proper for us as a people here, when we come to the house of God, to certainly be spiritual. Look around. See what a help and a blessing you to be of those around you. Instead of just looking for someone to bless you, look for someone to bless. Wouldn't that be a good idea? I mean, I think that's the way God would have us come to the house of God, don't you? Looking for someone that you can be a help and a blessing to. Now, when they said in verse 31, the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, they just begin to cry the more than they had before. I think even louder than they had before. They said the same thing. Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. They didn't pay attention to the crowd. I'm asking you, don't pay attention to that old worldly crowd out there that doesn't want you to get saved, not concerned about your salvation. Just don't pay attention to them. Just turn your words and your heart toward the Lord Jesus Christ, who wants to save you, wants to give you eternal life. Now, there is some partial truth to the fact that, you know, a person here sitting lost doesn't really have a right to come to Jesus Christ on his own. Now, just hold with me a minute. But let me say to you, at Calvary, Jesus opened up that door. And he made it possible that everybody, every person in this room, and every person in the world has a right to come to him because of Calvary. Now, we don't have a right to come to him on our own because of who we are. We're sinners. We're lost. But he opened that door for us. He died on the cross for your sins and my sins. And he made it possible that you can come to him. Put your name there. Don't care what your name is. Just put your name there and just say, Jesus loves me and Jesus wants me to be saved, and he's opened the door so I can be saved. Now, all at once Satan says to you, but you don't understand, Brother Ross, what I've done. You don't understand how terrible my life have. You don't understand what I done yesterday. I mean, I committed a terrible sin yesterday. That's exactly why Jesus came and died for you. You see, that's why he came and died for you, because he knew you and I couldn't make it on our own. So he died on the cross for your sins and my sins, and he died for you so that you could have eternal life. So God wants to save you, amen, wants to give you eternal life. Now, not only that, I think it's interesting here that when you look in verse 31, he says, "The multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you?" Now, I want you to understand something, and it's very important, because we soul winners, we who try to be a witness for Jesus Christ, ought to take some notes. There wasn't one place in the Scripture that Jesus ever tried to force salvation on anybody. He never even tried to beg them to get saved. If you look in your Bible and you read your Bible, you'll find Jesus presenting the gospel, presenting the Word of God, and letting them choose. Even here, these two men, don't you think, him being the Son of God, don't you think he understood and knew exactly what it was they wanted? Here was two blind men. What is it they want? What is it they need? Don't you think he knew what that was? Certainly he did. But you know what he was more important? He wanted them to know. And that's what we've got to understand. You need to know why you need to be saved. Why do you need to be saved? Because you sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why. You're a sinner in God's eyes. Oh, you say, Brother Ross, I've not done so bad. You're not there yet. You haven't done so bad. Well, you don't understand. You don't understand that God considers you a sinner no matter what you've done, because you was born into this world a sinner. You're lost, hopelessly lost, and without Christ you cannot go to heaven. So you need to understand, I have went against the law of God. I've broken God's commandments. I'm in a terrible condition. I need saved. And that's why he called out to him and said, now what is it you want me to do? He wanted them to know what it was they needed. Now, you need to know that too. If you're here unsaved today, you need to know that you need Jesus. Why do you need Jesus? Because you're a sinner, just like the rest of us. You're in good company this morning. We're all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The difference between the lost and the saved man is he's put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and God has saved him, born him into the family of God, and done something in his life. Amen. But as far as you're concerned, let me say to you, every one of us was in that same condition. Lost, hopelessly lost without Christ. So I'm simply saying to you, what do we need? Well, they understood what they needed. They said, what wilt thou you have that I should do unto you? And they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Now you say, Brother Ross, that's simple for a blind man to understand that he needed his eyes open. Yes, it is very simple. They couldn't see. They'd been in that condition for a long time. But let me say something to you. These men was not asking for a handout. They didn't say, what I need is somebody to put some money in the hat for me. They didn't say, I want somebody to come over here and put their arm around me and tell me that everything will be all right. They didn't say that. They didn't say, I want somebody to bring a wet rag and come over and wash my eyes so they'll feel better. They understood something. What they needed was they needed to see. They needed to have their eyes open so they could see. Now, folks, you don't need someone just to treat you better. You don't need someone just to solve the problems of life for you if you're unsaved. That's not what you're after. You don't need someone that'll say, if you do this, you'll feel a lot better and things will go a lot better for you. You need someone to see to it that you understand why you need to be saved and you have a desire to be saved and forgiven for your sin. Now let me ask you, are you a sinner? Have you sinned? According to the Bible, you have, and everyone has. You say, Brother Ross, I'm not saved. I'm not a born-again child of God. Well, look at yourself as God looks at you, as a sinner. Going against what God has asked for mankind to do. You are a sinner. You're lost. You've sinned. Come short of the glory of God. And what do you need? You need forgiven. You need cleansed. And Jesus Christ is the one who will do the cleansing. See, these men understood that they didn't just need a little helping hand. They needed their eyes opened. And I say to you this morning, should you be here without Christ as your personal Savior, what you need is your spiritual eyes open. You need to be cleansed. You need to be washed in the blood of Christ so you can become a Christian, God's child, and when you die, you'll go to heaven. That's what you need. Amen? So you just don't need someone feeling sorry for you. You don't need someone consider yourself as someone who's had a hard time in life. What you need to do is see yourself as God sees you, as a lost sinner, and Jesus is the only answer for your problem. Amen. He wants to cleanse you and open your eyes. I noticed also that in this, and I was very thankful that these people were not ashamed of the fact. They was not trying to hide their desire. They didn't get one of the multitude and catch him and say, "Hey, would you go catch that Jesus fellow and see if maybe he'd come over here and maybe heal our eyes or something?" They weren't ashamed. They just simply cried out in the multitudes. You know what I really think? I really think they thought to themselves, this may be the last chance we ever have of this man who can help us going by. Here we are sitting here. He's going by. There may never be another chance that ever happens in the rest of our life. Do you realize right now that this may be the last chance in your life that you ever hear the gospel? You ever think about that? Oh, you say, Brother Ross, nah. No, do you ever think about that? I read in the obituaries every day, do you? I read them every day. The reason I read them is simply, I don't read every word, but I read them is to keep me mindful that people are still dying. All ages. In the paper, I think up at Riley Hospital, I know this young man died at 9 years old, but in the paper also I noticed a 15-year-old boy died up at Riley Hospital. 15-year-old. Another in the paper, 41 years old. Other different ages. Even if it's 80, even if it's 90, people are still dying. You see, you don't know whether you live this day out. And neither do this preacher. I just don't know. Amen. But I do know this. Jesus loves me. And Jesus loves you. And Jesus will forgive you. If you're unsaved, Jesus will forgive your sins and cleanse you and give you everlasting life right here today. So they were not afraid. They boldly cried out so they could hear. And I think the second time they did it, they cried out even louder than they had before, asking for the mercy of God upon on their lives. So what I'm saying is, don't be ashamed of crying out to the Lord Jesus. That's why we give public invitations a lot of time. Doesn't mean that you have to publicly get saved in front of a church. That's not how you have to get saved. But let me tell you, it's a great way. And the reason for that is because you are publicly taking a stand and saying, I need Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, a person, I don't want to leave the wrong impression, a person can get saved anywhere. If their heart really desires to be saved, they want to be forgiven, they can get saved anywhere. I don't care where it is. I was saved in a church meeting. My wife was saved in a car by herself. She had heard the preaching of the Word of God. She was kind of like Ethiopian eunuch sitting in a chariot. And she pulled over to the side of the road and asked Christ to save her and give her everlasting life. But she'd already heard the preaching. She knew what she needed. There's other people that's gotten saved in houses and barns. A man was telling me here a while back, he got saved, pointed out the barn he got saved in. So that's where I accepted Christ as my Savior, pointed out the barn. So it's not a matter of where you get saved, but what I'm saying to you is, you can't find a better situation than in a church where the gospel is being preached. And you respond to that and cry out to the Lord and ask God to save you. It's a good, wonderful situation, a great time to get saved. Now, that's the way it was with me. That doesn't make me any saved more than anybody else. But I got saved in a revival meeting, Rock Run Baptist Church, over on the other side of Brazil, Indiana. It's not a Baptist church anymore. It was then. And I got saved in that church. I went forward in a meeting, revival meeting, asked Jesus Christ to save me and give me eternal life. So I'm simply saying to you, it's a great time. Why? Because the gospel's being preached, and the Holy Spirit of God is using the gospel, the preaching of the Word of God, to convict men's hearts. You're here today without Christ. You ought to listen to your heart. Because God wants to speak to you. He's wanting to impress upon you that you need Jesus. You're a sinner lost, and you need Jesus, and you need to be saved, and He loves you and has paid the penalty for you to be saved. So I say to you again, these folk were not ashamed. You know what they really was? They come to the point where they realized they were just tired of their old life. They was tired of living being blind. And they wanted a change. They wanted to be able to see. Well, let me ask you this. Do you ever get tired spiritually? You ever get just tired of life? I know you have some things that are encouraging to you and maybe some things in life, and you may have some material things and all of that. But I mean, when you're by yourself, if you're unsaved, you're not a happy camper. No way in the world. There's no peace in your life. Not real, real deep peace, because there's always that thought of, where am I going to go when I die? What if I should die? What's going to happen to me? Well, we got good news for you, you see. These men came to Jesus, which they should have done, and Jesus saved them and gave them everlasting life. One of these days we're going to spend eternity with him. Amen. All right. And then, of course, we notice in verse number 34, so Jesus had compassion on them, and they touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. You notice here that Jesus understood something. Him being God, he understood that they meant business. This was a real request. They wanted their eyes open. And let me say to you, all you have to do is respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to be saved? I mean, do you want eternal life? If you do, God will give it to you. These men wanted to see, and Jesus opened their eyes. And let's notice something else. It was instantaneous. You know, I can't remember whether I read it or what it was. I can't remember the situation. It's been a long time ago. But one man said, you know, he said it may take a long time to find Jesus, and we're not really finding him. It may take a lot of our life. He finds us, but it may take a lot of our life to find him. But once we found him, it don't take any time for him to save us. What I'm simply saying to you today is, if you desire eternal life, God will save you like that. It's not a process. Now, Christian growth is a process. Amen. Sanctification, after you get saved and growing in the Lord. But you become God's child instantaneously when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, you see. Now, I want you to notice something, though, that has nothing to do with their receiving their sight, but has to do with after they received their sight. Now, don't you notice what it says? He said, immediately their eyes received sight. That's a picture of a person getting saved. Their spiritual eyes are open. They got born again. So they could see. They looked around. They could see. But what immediately did they do after they could see? The Bible says they followed him. Now, folks, listen to me. That's exactly, after you get saved, that's what you and I are supposed to do. It has nothing to do with your salvation. The following has nothing to do with you being born again. It has to do with, since you are born again, you ought to follow him. Amen. Nowhere in the scripture can you find that God says, after you get saved, you just go out and do anything you want to do. And I mean, just do anything you want to do. It doesn't make any difference. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that. It teaches me, the Word of God teaches me, that once I am saved, born again into God's family, then I should follow him. Not to get saved, but because I am saved. Amen. I don't know what you've found since you've been saved, but since I've been saved, I've always had it impressed upon my heart that I should walk with God. Always. That's always been impressed upon my heart. And when I did not do right, God would never let me alone. Never. Never. I'm saying to you that when we get saved, what should we do? Follow him. Amen. That's a proper and right thing to do. They followed him. Now again, I'm saying to you, these men wanted salvation, or they wanted to be able to see. Jesus Christ responded to that. And he absolutely answered their prayer and answered their request. And the Bible says that he touched their eyes and they could see. They received sight. Whether it's a physical touch as it was then or not, or a spiritual touch that Jesus does now, he'll open your spiritual eyes and give you eternal life. There was a day before I was saved that I would read the Bible and not understand it. I didn't understand what the Bible said. I'd read it,
just kind of to get some help and as a duty, I felt, once in a while. But after the Holy Spirit of God comes into your heart, he helps you in the understanding of the Bible. That does not mean that you're just going to be open to the Bible and boy, everything's going to come at you. But he will help you as you study. He will help you to understand his word. So I'm saying to you today is what you need, first of all, before you can ever understand God's word, you need salvation. You need to be born again. If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Ross, I do not know 100% sure that if I died, I'm going to heaven. If that's you, we've got good news for you. Just like Jesus opened the eyes of the blind men, he'll open your eyes. He'll give you eternal life. He'll wash you clean and give you that eternal life that you so desire. God will do that for you if you want it. And I say to you, don't let the multitude stop you. Don't let anybody sitting with you or around you or that you meet out in that world stop you from getting ready to meet God. I even bring it down a little farther. Husbands and wives sometimes don't do anything together sometimes when it comes to eternal things because one is maybe not ready. Don't you stop because your wife doesn't want to get saved now. Don't you stop because your husband don't want to get saved now. You're talking about eternal things. You will not stand in the presence of God with anybody else but your presence and what you did with Christ. You ever see these turnstiles that you go into some of these, I don't even want to say amusement places or, well, they've got them in different places where you go in and you can only get one through one at a time. That thing turns and it goes down like this. There's a bar sticking out. Did you ever see those? A bar sticking out? You only go through one at a time. You only get saved one at a time. You may both get saved at the same time, but you do it one at a time. You can't get saved for her. She can't get saved for you. You have to get saved because it's your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? So I'm asking you this morning, is there a desire, need for your eyes to be opened spiritually? If so, Jesus wants to fill it. And Jesus wants to do it. He'll born you into his family, forgiving you of all of your sin, cleanse you, wash you clean, and make you a child of God. Please bow your heads. Close your eyes. This moment this morning as we've preached on this simple message concerning the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ and his love for us and how he desires to open the eyes of the blind, Father, I certainly pray and ask you, Lord, to help these people that are here this morning understand, know personally where they're at. What is their condition? Do they need the Savior? Have they already received the Savior? Are they your child? Are they not your child? Father, I pray that you deal with each one right here today, right now. And Lord, just do something in their hearts that they will understand and know what their condition is. And Father, if it should be they're unsaved, oh God, let this be the day that they're born into the family of God. Amen.